So again, the title of this new series is Love Starts with a Name. But this morning, what I want to talk specifically about is this idea that love starts when you know their name. When you know their name. Now, this series, I'll just say this right now, is based on the book called Love Has a Name. So this isn't my original title, let's just say. And it's a book that you can purchase on Amazon. You may want to consider doing that. It's only like $15 or something. So if it's something you might be interested in, go to Amazon and look it up. I just want us to think about this whole idea of love having a name. And, at the hardware where I work, we wear name tags. All our associates, including the managers, we wear name tags. And it's frustrating because oftentimes I'll have a customer approach me and say, "That kid over there," referencing one of my associates or one of my workers, or "That young person over there, they were rude to me," or whatever. And I'll say, "Oh, are you talking about Jacob?" Because he has a name tag, and guess what? He has a name. It's not just the young kid over there. It's he has a name, and his name is Jacob. So I don't do it in a condescending way, but I'm like, "Oh, you must be talking about Jacob. Oh, you must be talking about Luke." Because it's important. People have a name, and it's important that they're identified by their name, right? But because we wear name tags, I'll also have once in a while a customer say, look me right in the eye and say, "Thank you for helping me, Dan." And it makes you feel good, right? When somebody uses your name and calls you by name, it makes you feel good. It makes you feel that you have some value. But I always know when somebody starts out a conversation with me, that kid over there, that worker over there, that person, when the conversation starts that way, I immediately know where their heart is or where their mind is, right? And I become very defensive because I know what they're thinking. And there are, honestly, some of us or some of you or some people, let's just say, that are better at remembering names than others, okay? And I believe, I truly believe that that is a gift. To be able to know people's names and remember them is a gift. And I think that's a gift that teachers are given, okay? To know and recognize their student's name quickly. You get 30 students from on the first day of school, and it's very important that you stand and get to know their name pretty quickly, right? I mean, that's an important part of the relationship thing. But I also suspect that those that are better at remembering names quicker have a better understanding of how important it is. In other words, they're better at it because they make it a priority to do that. And I have to admit it was a weakness of mine for a long time, like at camp. You know, we'd have a staff meeting on the first night of camp, and my staff would be like, "Stacy's having a rough time." And I'm like, "Who's Stacy?" I knew who they were talking about, but I didn't know her name. And I'm like, "Really, it's the first night of camp, and everybody else in my staff knew her name, and I didn't." And I'm like, "Well, that's not good. That's not good." So it was a weakness. So I've tried to become better at knowing their name. Knowing a person's name is really an entry point into their life, if you will. It's like the doorway, and it's really the initial point, I believe, in which a relationship begins to grow. The point at which you know and remember their name is the point in which the relationship actually can turn into a relationship, if you will. There's something powerful about knowing and remembering a person's name. When someone knows your name, it makes you feel loved. It makes you feel appreciated. It makes you feel noticed. It makes you feel seen. When someone knows and remembers your name, it gives you some sort of self-worth. You know what I'm talking about. There's just something powerful about it. And a name represents a person's story too, doesn't it? A name represents their story. It represents who they are. It represents their past, both the good and the bad. It represents their successes. It represents their messes. It represents their poor choices. It represents their good choices. It represents their background. It represents their upbringing. And it represents their occupation. It represents who their parents are. And a person's name, it's their story. And it's important. And it matters. And it matters. And I'm telling you, love starts when you know their name. And the best news is this, that Jesus knows your name, and he knows my name, and he knows everyone's name, and he loves us. So take a listen to this story that we're going to read in Luke chapter 19. And I really think that it speaks to the importance of knowing someone's name. This is not going to be a story that you haven't heard before, I'm quite certain. And it starts in verse 1, it says this, Jesus entered Jericho, and and as he was passing through, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree so he could see, since Jesus was coming that way. So he climbed up in this tree because he knew Jesus would be passing right by that tree, and it was his only hope to just even get a glimpse of Jesus. He had no hope of talking to Jesus or interacting with Jesus, but he just wanted, if I could just get up in that tree, I could at least just catch a glimpse of Jesus as he passed by. It was important for Zacchaeus. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. To seek and to save what was lost. See, word had gotten out that Jesus was coming to town. You don't hide something like that. When the President of the United States is coming to town, it's not something that's hidden. It's not a secret. The word had gotten out, and Zacchaeus really wanted to see Jesus. Zacchaeus was trying to see Jesus because he was unable because of the crowd, because he was small in stature, the text says. The problem was he was very short, and the crowd was very tall. And if Jesus had come by, if Zacchaeus didn't do something, he would have completely missed Jesus. And he did not want to miss Jesus. And so he had an idea. So Zacchaeus had an idea. And this is what his idea was, to climb up into this tree. Now, I'm sure being short had been a burden to him in the past, so I'm sure he was used to coming up with creative solutions to overcome his height problem. And listen to this. So he ran on ahead, the text says, and he climbed up in a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass by. Probably not the first time he'd had to do something like that, as I said. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said this. He said, hey, you, up in that tree, come down. Oh, wait. Well, that's not what he said. He didn't say, hey, you, come down. Hey, you, up in that tree. What are you doing up there? Who are you? Why are you up there? That's not what he said. He looked directly at him and he said, Zacchaeus. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. Because Jesus knew his name and Jesus called him by his name. Jesus saw Zacchaeus the man. Jesus didn't see Zacchaeus the chief tax collector. Jesus didn't see Zacchaeus the sinner. Jesus saw Zacchaeus the man, and he called him by name. And guess what? Love started in that moment because Jesus knew his name. Wow. He knew his name. Why would Jesus know his name? Now, I'm guessing there were probably times in Zacchaeus' life when he didn't want people to know his name, right? He wasn't the most well-liked man at that time. And there were probably times when he's like, you know, it's okay if nobody knows my name. But in this particular moment, it excited him. It pleased him that Jesus knew his name. That Jesus knew he was excited. The person that Zacchaeus desperately wanted to see actually knew his name. Zacchaeus, all he wanted to do was catch just a small, tiny glimpse of Jesus as he passed by. And he got so much more than that because Jesus knew his name. And what when Jesus called him by name, what did he do? He hurried down the tree. He said, "That's Jesus, and Jesus knows my name. I'm coming down from the tree, and I'm coming down now because the Messiah knows my name. This guy knows my name." And then, of course, the text says that when the crowd saw it, they grumbled. They grumbled. They were jealous. They were mad. He's gone on to the house of a sinner. What's he thinking? What about us? We're good people. But he chooses to go and spend the day with Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector and sinner. This isn't good. We're frustrated. We're angry. The crowd's not happy. Why is Jesus going to this jerk's house? He's not just a jerk, he's the chief of the jerks, because he's not just a tax collector, he's the chief tax collector. So in their minds, Jesus isn't just going to this jerk's house, he's going to this the chief jerk's house. How could this be? Why would he do that? You can bet one thing. If Jesus knows the name of a guy like Zacchaeus, he knows the name of the people in your life too. And I'm going to get a little bit more direct. If Jesus knows the name of a guy like Zacchaeus, he knows the name of the person that hurt you deeply. And he knows the name of your coworker who disagrees with you about everything politically. And he knows the name of your neighbor, the one on this side that's kind. And he knows the name of your neighbor on this side, the one who's not so kind. Okay, that's just plain mean. He knows the name of that neighbor too. He knows your spouse. He knows the name of those spam callers that drive us crazy that we hang up on. He knows their name. He knows the name of the know-it-alls on Twitter that drive us crazy. He knows the name of the random strangers that you cross paths with every single day. Do you know their name? Do you know their name? Jesus does. Jesus knows their name. But do you, do we even want to? That's the question. That's the hard question. Do we even want to know their name? When we put names with faces, they're no longer just faces, right? And maybe that's why we don't want to put names with them, because we just want them to be a face. We don't want them to be anything more than that. And when we put a name with a face, now it becomes a little bit more personal. Now all of a sudden we've given them a little bit more value. Because again, when you know their name, a name gives that person value. And are you ready for this one? Their value, their life has as much value as yours. How about that one? Their life has as much value as yours, especially in the eyes of Jesus, especially in the eyes of God. And I think that's what's hard for us to believe sometimes. It's hard for us to come to grips that this person over here has as much value to God as I do. And it doesn't seem fair, and it doesn't seem right, and it just doesn't seem justifiable, but it's true because God's word says that it's true. He knew Zacchaeus' name. To the crowd, Zacchaeus was a sinner. To the crowd, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. But to Jesus, he was Zacchaeus. He was the man with a story. To Jesus, Zacchaeus was the man that his dad created. See, Jesus looked at Zacchaeus and said, "My father created you. And I know your name, and I know your name is Zacchaeus." Jesus knew his name, and Jesus used his name. Because Jesus knew that love starts with a name. He knew that love starts when you know their name. The simplest way to love someone is just to know their name. Just to know their name. Know their name, and then get to know them as a person. Get to know them as the person that God created them to be. Don't get to know them for the person that they're known for by everyone else. Get to know them for the person that God created them to be. And get to know the story behind their name. You really want to be used by God? Know somebody's name. You really want to help someone? Know their name. You want to help point someone to Jesus? Know their name. You want to let someone know that you really care? Know their name. Know their name. It's not just the boy over there or the kid over there or the man up in the tree. They have a name and they have a story. Get to know it. A lot of us would say that we want to do all these things, right? If I ask every one of you, do you want to be used by God? I'm sure every one of you would say, I do. And if I ask every one of you, do you want to help someone? I'm sure you would all say, I do. And if I ask all of you, do you want to help point someone to Jesus? You would probably say, I do. And if I ask you if you want to let someone know that you care, you'd say, yeah, I want people to know that I care. You would say you want to do all these things. Because I think genuinely we do want to be used by God. But we don't know anyone's name. We don't know anyone's name. We don't know the person who serves us our cup of coffee at the gas station every morning. Some of you probably do. God bless you for that. But we don't know their name. The next time someone complains to you about the way someone treated them, as them, what was the person's name? What was the person's name? So here's my challenge. Here's my challenge for all of us. Are you ready for it? The very next time you don't know, the next time someone you don't know treats you poorly, and let's face it, it could be 15 minutes from the time you walk out those doors. From 15 minutes from the time you walk out that door, somebody may treat you poorly. I hope nobody treats you poorly before you walk out the door. But I can guarantee you that sometime this afternoon or in the next day or two, somebody's going to treat you poorly. Somebody's going to give you a dirty look. Somebody's going to do something that you don't agree with. Somebody's going to disagree with you. Somebody is going to treat you poorly. The next time that happens, make it a point to get to know their name. Find out what their name is. And see how that changes your perspective towards them. Find out their name. I can tell you it's not as easy as it sounds. I'm like, well, that's easy. Let's find out their name. Why? Because people are skeptical. Because they've been hurt. People are jaded because they've been wounded. People are jaded because they've been wounded by someone like you and I that go to church, right? Or somebody else. It can be difficult to get through somebody's wall that they've put up, right? It can be difficult. But if you're earnest and intentional, you'll learn some names. You'll learn some names. And God willing, you might even begin to hear a little bit of their story. Because it's not just about getting to know their name. Getting to know their name is the beginning to a bigger end. And that's getting to know their story. Because if you know a name and you know a story, then you can offer to pray for them. Because here's the other thing I've realized is everybody has a story and everybody is going through something. And chances are if somebody is treating you poorly, it's because they're going through something. It's they have a story or they have gone through something. And you have no idea what it is because we haven't taken the time to get their name and we haven't taken the time to get to know their story. But when we do know their name and we know their story, then we can pray for them at least, and we can offer to pray for them. We can find out where they're from. We can find out how they're doing. We can find out where they work. We can find out, even without asking, what has happened in their life that's caused them to be cynical or mean-spirited or non-trustworthy. And then you can ask them if you can pray for them. You see where this is going? You see how this is working out? What happens if they say no? Which, by the way, that rarely happens. Because when you get to know somebody's name and you get to know somebody's story, I would say there's a 99.9% chance they're not going to tell you, please don't pray for me. Please don't pray for me. That just doesn't happen. But if it does, you can still pray for them. Even if they tell you not to. You still can, and you still should, right? If they say no, do it anyway. Take a moment and pray in your car. And if you get to know some part of their story that requires more actions, be faithful to see it through. But remember, I'm going to say it over and over again, it starts with knowing their name. Now I know some of you are thinking about how lame this all sounds. This sounds kind of cheesy, this sounds kind of lame. Really, that's all you want me to do is get to know someone's name? You don't want to know their name, let alone their story and maybe even their needs. Who wants to discuss excess baggage with somebody when you got plenty of your own, right? Because this is going to happen if I start to know their name and I start to know their story, then I might get involved in their story. Then I might start to get involved in their life. And while I have plenty of my own mess over here to deal with, if I get too close to their story, then I might get myself involved in their mess. And I certainly don't have time for that. You see, there's risks. Because when you start to know someone's name and you start to know their story, you might start to be part of their story. So there's some risk involved. But I believe that that's what Jesus has called us to do. You know, so often we only want to know the names of people that matter. We only want to know the names of people that might help us later in life. Well, I definitely want to know the name of the CEO. I don't care less about the name of the cook. It's important that I know the name of the CEO because if I get to know the name of the CEO, that might help me advance my career. Knowing the cook, knowing the stock boy, he ain't going to help me. She ain't going to help me get anywhere. Why would I want to know her name? So we have this habit of wanting to know only the names of the people that we think really matter. But what we forget is in the eyes of Jesus, everyone matters. Zacchaeus mattered. We only want to get to know the names of people that we think can do something for us in return. But when we look at the example of Jesus, we see him get to know and interact with all kinds of people. From sinners to the religious elites to the cultural castaways, and everyone in between. Jesus made time for each and every one of them. He made time for Zacchaeus. He made time for the woman at the well. He made time to heal lepers. He made time for the Pharisees. He made time for every single one of them. And he knew the name of every single one of them. Everyone wants to get to know the names of the star athlete. But often the person Jesus most focused on was the person who remained nameless to everyone else around them. The person who was passed over and forgotten about, Jesus paid attention to them. Everyone passed over them, but Jesus paid attention to them. He knew their name. Why? because love starts with a name. Love doesn't start with a debate. Love doesn't start with becoming defensive of your platform. Love starts with getting to know somebody's name and getting to know their story. And I just want to close with this by revisiting our text today. As I said before, if Jesus knows the name of Zacchaeus, then that means he knows the name of every single person in our life and our name as well. What I also want you to hear today is this, though, that Jesus knows your name. And he knows my name. And he knows your story. And he knows my story. And he knows, and he has watched them play out, and he knows how it's going to play out. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of that. When we're having a really tough day, sometimes we just need to be reminded that Jesus knows our name. It's just a good reminder. Sometimes we need to be reminded that Jesus knows the names of people like Zacchaeus. Sometimes when we get angry with somebody for something, it's good to be reminded that Jesus knows their name. And when someone hurts you deeply, it's good to be reminded that Jesus knows their name. Get to know someone's name today. I dare you. And then get to know a little bit about their story and see past what you see on the outside. No matter who you are or where you are or what you do, this is something that we can all get behind. You can do this today. I can do this today. And as I started out by saying, the reason we can do this is because this does not go against the teaching of God's word, right? Embracing what they believe might very well go against what God teaches, and we just can't do that. But God's word is all about love, and God's word is all about embracing somebody's story. That is something that we can get behind, that we should get behind. Love starts with a name. Healing starts with a name. Forgiveness starts with a name. From your neighbors to complete strangers, get to know their names. Get to know their stories. Pray for them. God will use you to love that person and the story behind the name. He will. If you take the initiative to get to know their name, God will use you to love them and to get behind them and to come alongside them and be part of their story. In fact, God can and will do amazing things through your willingness to love others. I'm going to say that again, and I'm going to close with that. God can and will do amazing things through your willingness to love others. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you know our name. We thank you that you knew Zacchaeus' name. We thank you that he wasn't just some man in a tree to you. We thank you, Lord, that you saw him for more than just a sinner and a tax collector. You saw him as someone that was created by your Father. And Lord, I pray that we would have that same mindset. That when we look at people, we can see someone created by God. Not just someone who was mean to me, or someone who gave me a dirty look, or someone who treated me poorly, or someone that disagrees with me politically, but we can see them as someone created by God. Someone who has a name and someone who has a story. Lord, I pray that as we leave from this place and meditate on this concept, Lord, that you would give us opportunities to get to know someone, to know somebody's name, to get to know their story, so that we can come alongside them, that we can pray for them. And Lord, that ultimately we can love them on your behalf, because it's what you have called us to do. Stop the debates, stop the bickering, stop the fighting, and just love. Lord, it's a principle that allows us as Christians to get behind. Our faith does not allow us, Lord, to get involved in attacks or mean-spirited conversations. It goes against the truths of your word. But love is something that we are permitted and encouraged and even commanded to do. And so it's something that we can all get behind. And I pray, Lord, that we would desire to get to know people's names. I pray that we would desire to get to know people's stories. And Lord, I pray that we would desire to love them as you love them. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen.